Hello, one and all. Thank you so much for joining me here on this beautiful Saturday evening for Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall. And as you all know, this is just our second week back to our regular Saturday evening schedule. And tonight, of course, is our Poets Cafe. While we're waiting for the poets to call in and get online, let me just fill you guys in on a couple of things. Of course, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. is our regular scheduled Sunday morning meditation. This week's theme is Blame It on the Lord or Blame It on God. It's going to be an interesting half an hour of talk at 6 a.m. And of course, if you miss our live broadcast, you can always come back and listen to it in the archives. So how's everybody doing? Lots going on my end. Of course, you all know that it's still one day at a time. And just so you know, as always, this year on 12/21/2012, of course, if the world doesn't end like one of those calendars says it will, my second book will be coming out, Silent Noise, Lip Service. It'll be out on 12/21/2012, which is the second year anniversary of my divorce. Yay! Welcome to all of our guests who are here in the call query and in the chat room. To our guests in the chat room, if you'd like to participate in chat, of course, you can log on, and that way you'll be able to utilize the chat features. And if you would like to be on air, give us a call at 646-478-4726. Again, 646-478-4726. Then press the number 1 on your phone. That will let me know that you would like to be on air. So while we're waiting for all of our guests to get into the chat room, I'd like to say that a lot's been going on, and of course, you all know my latest book, Silent Noise Lip Service, is a book about the journey of hurts in life. It's a book of poetry, but it's healing poetry, but it's very raw and very real. So, you know, special shout outs to Beth Zimmerman for being my editor in chief. She has done a great job of keeping me on track because I like to talk more so than I do write, unless, of course, it's in a legal realm where I have no choice but to do it correctly. Or, well, you know, judges don't like when, or attorneys don't like when things are submitted that aren't right. So thanks so much for Beth Zimmerman for her editing skills. And another thing, you know, I had put my book out there to my advisory panel, and it was one piece that'll be coming out in Lip Service that a lot of people wanted me to explain in detail. So how befitting that tonight is poetry night. So I'm going to read this piece that I did call Conflicted while we're waiting for our artists. As I said, again, if you want to be on air, you have a piece you'd like to recite, our number is 646-478-4726. But just to give you a little bit of a look into my new book, Lip Service, I'm going to start off our show with a piece from, of course, Lip Service, and it's entitled Conflicted. Now, for those of you who've been following me, you know the last book, two pieces in it was Hooked and Addicted. And Addicted is A-D-I-C-K-T-E-D, Addicted, and Hooked. And again, both of those pieces are included in the new book because I decided to redo a lot of the pieces, and they're all included in Lip Service. So when that comes out on 12/21, you'll be able to order the book. And by the way, I decided this go around that each book that you order, it will be autographed by me and I will mail them out personally. So you'll be ordering the books from me. We're using it as, of course, the fundraiser for the Wall Foundation Incorporated, which is an IRS-recognized 501c3 community-based nonprofit. The Wall Foundation does sponsor both Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio and the Sunday Morning Meditation, as well as hosting a lot of other programs that we have had in the past and that we will be starting up again shortly. We also have our food and clothing drives. You know, this is rough times across the country. And with the holidays coming and the colder weather in most, in, you know, some regions, a lot of people will be in need of food and clothing. So, of course, we're going to always be asking for and accepting all types of donations. So let's just jump right in our show. And while we're waiting, we're going to talk a little bit about one of my pieces in, excuse me, my new book, Lip Service. All of a sudden, my voice is going. Imagine that. But it's called Conflicted. And it goes a little something like this. You've been hooked and addicted. Now your ass is just conflicted. You were happy to be hooked and placed on the semen's plate. When he spit you out, you decided to get even and or hate. Hey, it's not my fault. You got hooked and ended up on the wrong plate. After all the times you have been down this road, I thought you could have predicted what would happen if you got addicted. You gave them no boundaries. Their actions were unrestricted. When they were done, you were the one evicted. Less than 24 hours after your last eviction, you were back to your usual dereliction. Unless you choose to change your issues of addiction and confliction, your life is headed for a serious crucifixion. Okay, this piece, believe it or not, because some people, and it was odd because some of the people were my inspiration for this, some of my old school friends or associates, rather. A lot of times we as women will get out of one bad relationship and we'll get right into another one. We will go right into... a relationship with someone who is just like the person who kicked us to the curb. How often have we gone out, met someone, developed a relationship, started sleeping with that individual who didn't treat us right from the beginning, and suddenly they use us? And then they excuse us. That's where the eviction comes in. How many times have you actually been at a place where you meet somebody, say at a club, you end up spending the night with them? And how many times have they said, you know what, time to go? So again, you're out. And then you'll go right back out the next weekend and do the same thing. It's almost like you're so used to this vicious cycle, we become afraid to break it. So conflicted is about that, because if we continue down that road, we all know that we could really get hurt. And sometimes we get hooked up with the wrong people who are abusive, and we could end up injured or worse, dead. So that's what this piece is all about, letting people know that they need to stop these dangerous behaviors. We need to stop, take a back step, and know that sleeping with someone doesn't make them love us. It doesn't even make them like us. You know, even some of the worst men that I know respect a woman more when she does not sleep around with them. And I'm thinking that we have some artists calling in now, so we'll be getting into the Poets Cafe in a very few moments. Again, 646-478-4726. If you'd like to be on air, press the number 1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you would like to be on air. So we're going to start the show now. We have area code 305. We're going to be bringing on area code 305. And if we get a large number of call-ins this evening, what I'll do is give each artist a chance to recite 2 of their pieces, keep them on the line if they choose to stay. And once I've gone through the whole list, then we will come back around and let them finish. And once I click you off, press the number 1 again. That'll let me know that you'd like to be back. But we're about to start the show. And hopefully, 305, area code 305, is one of our poets for the evening.
Hello?
Area code 305, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. This is Lloyd Pearson. I probably haven't been on the show since probably February-ish or something like that. I still have you on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I guess I'll do 2 pieces. I'm going to do Love's Been Framed, and then the second one is going to be Insecurity Guard.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Love's Been Framed goes like this. It never hurts anyone. It's the lack thereof that causes all the pain. People think they find it, but are mistaken. So it receives all the blame. They don't even know what it looks like, but they search frantically. Some people think they find it emotionally, some physically, and others romantically. It wants you as bad as you want it, but you pass it up to chase the dreams. Then you get mad and hate it, and you discover that what you found isn't what it seemed. It never mistreated you, so why do you resent it? Because someone used its identity when they said things never meant it. So now it's the suspect, and it's up for trial. The jury proclaims it guilty, when it's been innocent all the while. The perpetrator was skillful and cunning when he planted the evidence, and no one's there to witness for it, so it has no defense. So it's locked away in prison, no letters, no phone calls, or money on the books. It desires to be with you, not interact with all the crooks. This is no place for it, but this is where it's made to be until you learn the truth about it and decide to set it free. Love's Been Framed.
Wow. What's the story behind that piece?
Basically, I have read like a bunch of poems where people complain about love. They're like, love is just to me, forget love. You know, I'm never going to go in love again because love does this to you. And I'm like, no, it's not love that did it to you. It's people you've fallen in love with. So that's pretty much my way of, you know, describing it, you know, showing that, you know, love is innocent in all this.
This is true. Could you do me a favor? I hear background noise. Could you turn that down so I can sort of the listeners hear?
I don't know. Because I don't know how to make it go away. Is this better?
Let's see. Yeah, I don't hear it now.
All right.
I want to make sure that the listeners can hear you clearly. So.
No problem. All right, and I'm gonna do an Insecurity Guard, which is a little longer, but it's one of
That's
my favorite
fine.
Ones. It goes. Lights are flashing. Red alerts, red alerts, red alerts. You know what? My ears hurt while this annoyingly loud alarm sounds. Triggered by who, what, where, when, why, and how. Man, what is it now? The alarm continues to shriek. This has got to be like the 3rd time this week. This system is super sensitive. It could be shut off by the slightest creak. I'm scanning through the monitors trying to see if the camera's picked up something. Is it a real threat, or is it just upset for nothing? You know, the system has been known to go off for no apparent reason. It doesn't matter the time of the day, the time of the month, or the time of the season. I remember one winter I was stuck in the cold, freezing, shaking, shivering, and wheezing. I was having trouble breathing. Could not believe this. The system had just locked me out. I tried to enter my code, but it completely blocked me out. The things that be going on don't make any sense. The alarm still gets triggered by past events. I was talking to the janitor about it one day. He was telling me how the system wasn't always this way. I asked him what happened, and this is what he had to say. It all goes back to the days before you were hired. The men who had the position before you wasn't doing what was required. They did great damage to the system before they finally got fired. These guys were liars, let the system neglect it or protect it where they did whatever they desired. Especially this one guy in particular, he really abused the job. The very thing he was supposed to help to protect, he contributed to it getting robbed. This guy confused, misconstrued the entire mainframe, left the system humiliated. And the others must have been affiliated because they also did the same thing. Let the huge void that destroyed the entire defense. Ever since then, even with the new men, the system hasn't been the same since. Due to the previous harm, it's darn near impossible to disarm. Anything causes it to panic is on automatic false alarms. So now you have to pay close attention, act with precision and care. Despite all the repairs, some of the damage is still there. It's just something you have to deal with, even though I know it's not fair. You see, the system isn't just state of art, it's the female's heart. And the previous men were the ones who tore it apart, leaving me to tend to it. I've been abused, misused, marred, and emotionally scarred. Man, it is hard being an insecurity guard.
Oh, wow. I like the way you put that together. You know, a lot of people don't understand the art of metaphor, and you just put that together so well. And again, I guess that was one of those. Okay, again, what was your inspiration for that one? Was that you just came up with that how to make it mesh together the way you did?
I was in a relationship at the time, and it just kind of made me just reflect back on like a lot of previous ones, even ones I know of. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to describe the situation without putting blame on any one party. So, like, you know, it's one of those things where it kind of gives both sides of the story without placing blame. You know, it gives the frustration of both sides without placing blame. And just kind of, it kind of does it from a more neutral standpoint. And, you know, it kind of just came to me, that concept just came to me, and I was like, oh, I got to write this down. And, you know, it really just took only like 10 minutes to put it together. I know it seemed like it probably took a lot longer, but how it just did, it just all just came to me, just flowed so well. Like, the ending is like what came to me first. It's like the beginning and the ending is what came to me first. It was just all about, you know, filling in the blanks and just making the story come together. And, you know, it's one of those ones, you know, I don't know how other people feel, but it's like certain pieces that you put together, it's like, yeah, I'm proud of it. And that was one of them for me. That and even Love's Been Framed, those two pieces when I was filming through, I was like, yeah. You know, that's like I felt like I had said what I wanted to say, and I did a great job of articulating it, and I did it in a way in which people should get it. And, you know, so it's just one of those things where you just really, you know, like I wrote that like five years ago, going on 6 years ago. And
wow.
It's still one of those pieces that I could always just, you know, I could spit to someone. I mean, it could be a thing where we're just having a conversation and they know I do poetry. They don't even have to like poetry and they'll like my poem. And, you know, so that's something I'm pretty happy about is that, you know, it's one of those things that's universal. No matter, you know, as long as they understand English, they can pretty much relate to them.
Well, you know, it can be translated into any language, and I think anyone would be able to relate to it because it transcends, you know, so many different levels, and it's also timeless. It's one of those pieces that it doesn't matter. You can say that piece 10, 15, 20 years from now, and people will still be able to relate to it. And right. I think that's one of the best parts about poetry. And, you know, you have people that write good poetry. You have people that write great poetry. And you have those, you know, people such as yourself that can write a piece that will be around long after we're gone. Let me ask you right. this. Do you have a place where you usually perform, or do you have a book coming out, CD, or something like that?
Actually, I don't have a place where I usually perform. I kind of do it casually. You know, I might go to like an open mic here and there. You know, really, you know, I guess people always like, you know, why don't you write a book or things of that sort. And what I'm really trying to do at this point is trying to create a space or create like a marketing pipeline or something where I can pretty much take full advantage of my own talents and abilities as opposed to be exploited. You know, like when you look at all the little entertainment industries and things of that sort, the people with the talent make the least off of it. And I don't want to put myself in that position, so I'm trying to change that. And so once I am finished with that, then I can start to explore the avenues of, you know, trying to make a living off of it. But I don't want to be making a living or trying to make a living, you know, barely getting crumbs off of it. Meanwhile, then all these other companies are absorbing all the profits and people who can't even do what I can do just living off of it, if that makes any sense.
Right. Well, I think that what you're speaking about, because for a long time, many, many years ago, I was into artist management and all of that. I was what you consider a mid-level manager in the industry, and which is a good place to be, actually. But, you know, I always taught the people that I represented to know the business of the business. And you're right. There are a lot of people out there who see, you know, you drop a couple dollars to someone and they forget, you know, if you sign your soul away to the devil, you have nothing left. So, you know, I think that you put your plan into effect and you know what works for you. And that is the best way to do it, because if you're not comfortable with what you're doing and you are not well-versed on the ins and outs of, you know, your rights and what you own and how to protect what you own and what percentages are in the industry when you really decide to get representation and move forward with it, then you're right. A lot of people will be out there and they will bleed you dry off of your work that you created. So I think that you're doing the right thing there. Is there any other pieces that you'd like to share? Because I'm still waiting for our artists to come on, so if you want to share some more, feel free, because right now it's wide open for you.
All right. I'll do one more. This one is a little bit different tone to it. It's called If I Call a Rose Nigger, and it goes, if I call a rose nigger, would it give off fragrances of a different mixture? Would the color fade from red to dark brown? Would it stop facing towards the sun and hold its head down? Tell me now, do you suppose after being called my nigga, a rose would take off his cuddles and put on baggy clothes and start referring to other flowers as bitches and hoes? The answer is no. And nor should you allow a word to define you. The people who do that are blind to the fact that we give words definitions. That's why they serve purposes for multiple dimensions. It's not the word used, but the intentions that decide whether it's used for good or used for afflictions. Don't allow words to define who you are, but define the words. That's it.
That's one of those pieces that when you first thought, of course, you know, that gets people's attention right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of the rose, for some people, of course, break that down.
Well, you know, there's the Shakespeare saying that, you know, a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. And, you know, people get too attached to an actual word itself. And the thing about a word is like this. I have a saying that says words are like empty boxes. It's the meaning that you pack into them that gives them the weight. And just like a box, you know, you can pack it, but also can be unpacked and repacked with something different. And so we can try to make it seem like a word means something of its own, when the only thing a word means is whatever meaning we give to it. And we can also take that meaning away and we can add another meaning. You know, all there are is creative things that, you know, that we use to communicate. When we start making it seem like a word has a power on its own, I think that we kind of start to lose even the purpose of words themselves. You know, it's just like, for example, it's kind of like, you know, they're like tools, you know, and a tool can be misused. It can be misused. But that doesn't mean the tool is bad. It just means that was misused. I mean, for example, if someone uses a kitchen knife to kill someone, that doesn't mean ban all kitchen knives. It just means that someone used a knife for the purpose in which it wasn't intended, but still could be used for it. And I just, you know, it's just like kind of like I wrote that around the time where everybody was like, when's the N-word and a bunch of other stuff that I thought, madness, I thought that was going on. And I was just like, no. you know, someone had wrote to me, just had like a big rant, and that was my response to the situation. It's just like, you know, we put in too much energy. You know, in a lot of words, like trying to single out a word, you're actually giving it power. You're making it more powerful. If you treat it like it was nothing, then it wouldn't be. But since you're giving it significance, now it's significant now.
Right, and I know that a lot of people, I think that that's one of the things that I always hit on with a lot of the young ladies that I work with. When it comes down to something as simple as self-esteem, you know, they allow the words of others to dictate their lives, their happiness, their success, how they feel about themselves. And it's the same principle that, you know, we need to stop giving so much credence to negative words. You know, I did a piece about, it's called Diva, but it's a breakdown of diamonds in various assortments, because a diamond, you know, most people look at that white, flawless diamond, you know, the SI1 and all of this, and it's just flawless. But now, you know, diamonds come in all types of shapes, sizes, and colors. Now people want a black diamond. You know, back in the day, that was unheard of. You know, a diamond had to be brilliant. It had to be white. It had to be this and that. But I try to use that metaphor to tell, you know, women that no matter what shape or size you are, a diamond, if you're a diamond, if you have the density, you're still a diamond. You know, and
yeah,
they need to understand that.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing that kind of bothers me. You know, it's like no matter what, I mean, I use women because, I mean, that's what I deal with for the most part.
Right.
You know, it's like no matter what a woman looks like, she wants to be different than that. You know, if she's light, she wants to be darker. If she's darker, she wants to be light. If she's skinny, she wants to be thicker. Thicker, she wants to be skinnier. And just like, you know, just learn to accept yourself, you know, how you are. I mean, you know, and a lot of times people look at it, well, you know, of course you want to better yourself. I mean, I'm all in favor of, okay, working out, all those things, feeling good about yourself. But crushing yourself about numbers, oh, you know, I want to lose 50 pounds, you know, getting caught up, you know, in a specific number, I think, is kind of where you play yourself short. You do want to feel, you know, be in a position where you feel good about yourself, where you can operate and live, you know, day-to-day life and feel comfortable. And I don't think that's really about a number. That's really just about, you know, finding out what truly works for you.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's quite unfortunate situation to kind of, you know, witness that consistently. You know, it doesn't matter how beautiful, you know, she is, you know, or, you know, a lot of times, I mean, different things work for different people. Some people can, you know, they look better, you know, with a little bit more weight on. Some don't. And, you know, it's, it's just vice versa. I mean, it's just, I just really don't understand why people feel like everyone should look the same way when everything in creation is different, you know, from the smallest to the biggest creature, to the smallest and biggest thing. Everything is different. Not even identical twins are the same. So they don't have, you know, they have different fingerprints. Everything is different. So why do we feel that we should all look alike? I don't understand.
Because I believe that throughout history, society has set certain standards and requirements. And, of course, if you look back at history, and depending on what end of history, you know, look at how women used to wear what they called the corsets and things that were so tight they couldn't even breathe because they had to be a certain size and look a certain way. And, of course, go back to slavery, and you're talking about the house Negroes and the field Negroes and the lights and the darks. And then a lot of families, you know, are divided. And that's across the board, you know. You know, you have some people who don't like redheads and some, you know, the brunettes don't like the blondes and the lighter complected black people don't like the darker complected black people and somewhere in between. So society and history has set these standards of what's considered acceptable and beautiful. And I think that a lot of people have, you know, fallen for that. And until, like you said, we have to be comfortable and find our own comfort zone. And you do have some people out there. I know a lot of people. I know when I put on weight, you know, when I had gotten ill and I couldn't work out and things, and I had put on quite a bit of weight, I didn't want to hear that, oh, I love being this size and blah, blah. For me, and this is me talking to all the listeners, I didn't like being that weight. I didn't like having that weight on me. So for me, I had to get healthy again, get back down to a weight that I was comfortable with. I know I will never be pencil thin, but, you know, you can still get your arms around me, and I'm healthy. But I'm healthy for me, not for anyone else. I'm healthy for me. And I had goals for myself. And I think that's where the problem comes in at, that so many people, you know, like you said, they allow other people to put labels on them. And what's that adage that words only have power if we allow them to have that power in our lives? And so many people don't seem to realize that. So, you know, it's nice to hear it coming from a male perspective, because so many women are looking for, you know, love in too many faces and in all the wrong places. And in some cases, some men are too. But we need to learn how to love who we are and love the skin that we're in, and not allow words, because they're just that. They're words. You know, words can hurt in some cases, especially when we're talking about children. They're more impressionable. But as adults, you know, we have that power in many cases to be able to turn off the negativity without allowing it to dictate how we feel about ourselves and how we live our lives. Because once we allow words to do it, you know, anything and everything else can come in and walk all over us as well. So, you know, I love that piece about the rose, and it gives, you know, a lot of people things to think about when they come back and hear the show in the archives. You know, it's just something that it makes you think, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, I just, that I enjoy poetic expression is something about it where people actually stop and listen to spoken word. And, you know, they can't hear that. If they're watching the local news or something, they're hearing the newscasters talk, but they're not really listening. But it's something about spoken word that, you know, entices the mind and makes people want to really grasp it, and it stays with them. So, you know, it's good. And I love that. I love that piece.
Thank you.
So, if you have any other pieces, feel free. I don't know where all of our artists are tonight, but
can you give me like about 10 minutes? I have to do something real quick, and I don't
oh
want
sure
to just, sure just put me sure back on mute. Now I'll let you know.
Okay. No
okay
problem.
Thank you.
Okay. As you all know, tonight is the first night of our Poets Cafe, and I'm waiting for more of the poets who had RSVP to call in. But you know, when you're doing a live show, you never know when something may come up. So again, this is our first night of our Poets Cafe, and you have been listening to a dynamic male poet who happens to bring some very enlightening pieces to the table. Again, going back to what he just said, and I'll just, I'm going to kind of piggyback on that, because when we first started the show, we were talking about one of my pieces in my new book, Silent Noise Lip Service, called Conflicted. And it's the same principle that our past artist was just talking about. It's the fact that we don't have enough self-esteem and self-worth to believe in ourselves, to believe that we deserve better, we don't have that tenacity in place to be able to withstand the words. And again, like I said, Conflicted has to do with two pieces from my first book, Hooked and Addicted. And a lot of times we meet someone and they'll say all the right words and they'll, you know, smile in our faces. And, you know, a classic example is, now, mind you now, my ex-husband did not come to me that way. I was his business coach. I helped him start his new construction company back up. He had one years prior to, but I was helping him build his construction company, and he was doing well. So when his true colors came out and I knew the beast within, then he was very comfortable near the end of our relationship. He wasn't aware that we were coming to the end, but he felt as though he had that type of control where he could converse with me on any topic and subject, including all of the women who he was and still continues to con. So he says he knows what to say. He looks for a certain type of woman. There are women who are older, he says, and I quote, they're old, their biological time clocks have fallen off the wall, they've been put out with the trash for pick up on the next day. He knows what to say to them. He knows that these are older women, they're more established, he could get more out of them monetarily wise. You know, there are people out there who look for people who have certain vulnerabilities. And he also shared with me that he likes to go on the Christian dating site. And I know some of you may get up in arms. If it doesn't apply to you, then it does not apply to you. Even I know that this happens. But, you know, he knows that he can go out with these so-called Christian ladies and say the right words, and they're ready to sleep with him that night and give him whatever he wants. And he chose that life. And yes, people, I even asked him why he decided to marry me, and his response was that I wasn't fake, I was real. So he goes after all of the women, and when I mean fake, I mean everything about them is fake. Fake hair, fake nails, fake eyes, fake personalities. You know, they have as you know, one of my family members always say, the twisty voice where it's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Knowing darn well that's not them. So, you know, I know that I change my voice with my mood, but you have some people that are way out there in left field, and that's not who they are. You know, you're on the phone with them, and you're like, hey, how you doing? And then when you get off the phone, you're like, go get me a beer and a cigarette. You know, the bottom line is simple. Be who you are. Enjoy who you are. I kind of enjoy being natural. I like the fact that, you know, my hair is mine. I don't have any nails. They're so brittle, they keep breaking. But I've enjoyed, I mean, I've experienced all of that. I've experienced the weaves, and I've experienced the fake nails and all of that. But it's just too much trouble, you know. And I've had long nails of my own, and they tend to break, and I do a lot of typing, so they do tend to get in the way. So for me, you know, I have friends that we're working on getting healthy for ourselves. We're not getting healthy. We're not losing the weight to impress any man out there. We're doing it for ourselves. And once we master that art of loving ourselves, then the rest of it comes easy. So, you know, it's fun to be able to go out and not have any expectations, not think, oh my gosh, I'm going out with this person. I've got to get myself together so we can sleep together. We know how to go out, have a great meal, have a great conversation, and laugh about it afterwards all the way home. Because you know what? We get our egos fed. You know, we just have our spirits filled. And it's a great time. And we take it for face value. But so many of us are trying to be something that we're not, under the false impression that that will make someone love us, want to be with us, and stay with us. And that is so untrue. So it doesn't matter. Just remember that, like he said, a rose is still a rose, no matter what name you give it. And if you're a diamond, you could be a chocolate diamond. You could be a cocoa diamond. You could be a black diamond. You could be a canary diamond. You could be a pink diamond. You're still a diamond. You don't have to be that flawless diamond with that, you know, they say cost $1 million or more. And, you know, and let's just put it this way. Remember the Hope Diamond. If any of you are familiar with the Hope Diamond is really a sapphire that has the density of a diamond, but it's a sapphire and it's blue. So again, a diamond is still a diamond, no matter the color, no matter the cut, no matter the clarity, a diamond is still a diamond. And you're still a diamond too. And diamonds deserve to be in the best settings to help enhance their appearance and their beauty. So make sure that you have someone to enhance your beauty, to encourage your beauty. And if that someone is you, then learn to love you for you. That was a great piece. And I love when we have male callers because they always bring that special perspective in. And again, for those of you in a call query, if you'd like to be on air, press the number 1 on your phone. And that will let me know that you would like to be on air. Thank you so much for joining me here this evening for Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio's Poets Cafe. As always, if you can hear me, my voice seems to be going in and out, but again, we're about to go with area code 301. You're coming on air. 301. Hello?
Hi, Maria. It's Beth.
Hey.
Hey. You said something that struck a chord in me, and I had my phone is staticky, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wrote a poem a while ago on being alone.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought I'd share it.
Oh, cool.
So it goes like this. Being alone. For many years I resisted, always on the quest to find the right man to stick myself to. Time after time, the glue dried up and I fell off, painfully hitting the ground. Now I see that being alone is something to embrace, to rejoice in my oneness, an opportunity to see the world through my own eyes. Being alone is a time to rediscover the unique qualities I had tucked away, not really realizing I had done so. My path may cross that of a kindred soul who will not diminish me, but who will wish to soar with me. Then again, my path may not, and I am at peace as a solitary point of light.
I love that. And again, you know, you hit the nail on the head, because that, again, is exactly what it's all about. It's about coming to that realization and having that aha moment. And don't you feel, aren't you enjoying it, though, learning how to love you and being with you and learning how to be, I guess we could say, we learn how to be our own best friend.
That's right.
And it's, I want to share the piece that I wrote. It kind of touches on the same thing, and it's one of my older pieces, but again, it'll be in the new book as well, and it's called I Love Me Some. And, you know, it's funny that whenever I do this piece, a lot of women, the first thing they do, they jump up and they're like, oh, yeah, girl, I love me some him. I love me some him. I said, ah. I said, I love me some. I never said him. And then, you know, the room gets quiet, but it goes, I need to put this plan in place. I want to feel love's warm embrace. Dinner was great. Have some wine, relax, and meditate. Put on some smooth jazz. Oh, wow, that added ambiance and pizzazz. A hot bath would be nice, great mood, and dim lighting. The bath water is so inviting. Rub my body down with fragrant oil. I really could get full. Jump in bed, get comfy and warm. I really need to make this a norm. So this is what life used to be when I need time to care for and love me. Try this for yourself. Discover what you like. Now make a promise to yourself to stop the personal loving me strikes. So again, you know, I love it when we're all on the same page. And to all of the listeners, think about this. You've heard it from a male artist this evening. You heard it from Beth. And it just so happens that I also have a piece. So you're not alone. We're not alone. There's a lot of people out there in that same mindset, both males and females. And it's really easy for you to get up. You're home alone. A lot of listening may be home alone. Run a nice hot bath. If you don't like bath, light some candles if you have them, or if you don't have candles, turn on some soothing music, take a hot shower, jump in bed, or just sit back and do nothing. Just learn how to be at peace with yourself. And I think that, oh gosh, I love it. To be honest, I love it. And that doesn't mean to run to the kitchen and get the gallon of ice cream and just sit there and think about all the negative things going on in your life. Because trust me, people, if I got the ice cream out and the sweets every time something bad happened to me, you probably wouldn't be able to get me out of the front door of my house or the back door, any other for that matter. Because Lord knows, if it can happen to me, it will. I just sit here and wait. I'm like, okay, come on, bad luck, anything, come on, come on, you know. And if I have a really good day, I get really leery because I'm like, oh, dear, something's coming. Something wicked this way comes. So, again, you know, take all the negative. When I say clean out the junk, the negative, you have to clean out all of that hurt. But then don't run and get negative because that ice cream and those sweets and all of that food is going to add the pounds to you. And you're not only going to be depressed because then you'll probably need to buy a new wardrobe. And then you're going to wonder why nobody wants to date you. And you'll wonder why your heart is pounding, your blood pressure's up, that you could develop diabetes or something. And then that'll make you even more depressed. So pick up a pen and paper. There's nothing like getting it out. The more that you get all of these negative feelings out of your soul, even if it means writing them down and then taking it to the shredder so that no one will see it, you've gotten it out of your soul. It's not baggage that you're pulling around every single day. Let it go. Find your life. You know, and if you like to dance, go out and dance, or better yet, turn on some music and dance in your home by yourself because nobody is watching, and enjoy doing it. But don't pick up a bad habit to try to pacify your hurt feelings because it never works out well that way. And I, thanks for sharing that, actually. That's a cool poem. I really do like that. But, you know, like I said, isn't it great, though? It's great to learn how to love yourself. And, of course, I know with you, even if you have a pet, you can sit down and really enjoy your pet. Go for a walk. Do something fun. Find something that makes you happy. Because if you can find things to make you happy being by yourself, you'll be able to really enjoy that happiness when you're with a special someone. So, again, that's what the Poets Cafe is about, having people come on, recite their pieces, and then we can actually digest it, break it down, dissect it, and get something out of it, because that's what this is all about. The positive poetry is how people can write things. And, you know, I'm sure you know this, Beth, you always have those people that are going to be negative no matter what. They'll say, well, that's about her, you know, being a glue and sticking, and she's no different from me. No, the difference is you realize that after that you fell off from that glue drying up so many times, you had to make a change. But, that's, you know, right, we're not able to please everybody. So, you know how that goes. But, you know, the point is that if we continue to renew the glue again, and it's sticking with the theme tonight, is that the vicious cycle will continue. And sometimes we need to know when to let go of something that's really not that healthy for us. And, you know, I can't really say it enough because so many people just don't want to let go of the bad thing. And I don't know. I try, and all I can do is help pave the way, but we can't make anyone, you know, make that choice to be happy. Some people, honestly, it seems like they like to be unhappy. And like I said, this show is about, and poetry is about putting it out there, and each individual will get what they want out of it, and some people will never get the positive, so we'll just have to keep hoping for the best with them and keep moving forward. But that is a great piece, and share if you want to how you're moving forward and what you're doing to really learn how to enjoy having yourself as a best friend.
Well, I got married when I was 20, and divorced when I was 28. And then I was in a long-term relationship for, 9 years. And then I broke that off and moved across the country. And then shortly after that, I met someone. We had a whirlwind relationship, got married, and then 2 years later, he walked out. And so I've never really had a period in my life where I didn't have a man in my life, because I thought that that was the way it was supposed to be. And at this point in my life, you know, it's really kind of exhilarating to me to realize that, yeah, they're there if I want to go out and have some fun, but I'm enjoying doing silly things all by myself. And in fact, one of the things I like to do is just make a list of things I like, and even, you know, if it's something really off the wall or crazy, and just kind of focus on the things that I like and try to make sure that I have more of them in my life.
And you touched on a good point. You know, write down things that make you happy, and I'll even go a step further, and I'm like, people, write down the things that don't make you happy, because that's that list that you need to really work on eliminating, getting that negative, whatever it is, out of your life, whether it be toxic friends, it could be, you know, anything. Whatever it is, you have to work on changing it so that you can be happy. And it is okay. Now, and you said something else too, because I'm pretty much in that same boat where, but from a different perspective, you know, first time I got married, I really didn't have anything better to do on that day because I was really on top of my game. And I'm like, he's cute. I really do like being around him. You know, best of friends. And, you know, got divorced because he was just psychotic. And then, you know, I was single for a long time. I mean, I was doing my infamous, what I call date capating, but I was single. I was, you know, building my companies. I was loving life. And it took me until I was, 49 now? So about 45, 46 to hook up with someone else and then get married, like 46, 47 years old. And here I am again, a few years later, I'm divorced again. You know, I was married in 2008 and it's 2012 and I'm divorced again, you know, starting all over on the dating scene. You know, I certainly had not planned on being single again at this, you know, late time in my life. But, ladies, I want you to hear this. I am not desperate, nor am I going to accept any man that comes along. They've done that. Even I have been there, done that. I've never been one to try to change any man, you know, but I think that I like to have them around for all of the wrong reasons, meaning with my ex-husband, you know, I thought that we could build this empire. I had mine, he had his, and we could just build and become something great. But now I'm to that point where I want someone who's already there. And I'm sorry, but, you know, at this late juncture in my game, in my life, I don't have time for the beginner's game anymore. And I just don't want it. And I want someone who's more like-minded as I am. So I have a wonderful time. Don't get me wrong. I go out on dates with people from different socioeconomic groups, ethnicities, it doesn't matter. A date is just that, and I think that a lot of women, and Beth, you can chime in on this, but I think a lot of women don't understand that a date should just be that. It's a date. And stop trying to get him to bring you home or you bring him back to your house and jump in bed. A date is a date. Whatever happened to just going out, having good conversation, getting our egos filled, having someone that you can have a cerebral talk with, and then just going home. I think that a lot of women make the mistake, and I hear this from a lot of men. even from the men who are very professional and from the men who I know who most people would consider to be downright dogs, is that women, you know, most men, well, the dog men, if you come to them as a dog, they're going to treat you like one, ladies. They're going to treat you like one, and then they're going to move on from there, whether you know it or not, or whether I think a lot of you do. You're just hoping that it doesn't happen, or for some reason, whatever it is in some of our brains, we think that we can actually change this person over, you know, a 1 hour, 2 hour dinner date and make them want to love us. And even if they do love you, that doesn't mean that they're in love with you. And we have to be so vigilant nowadays, because there are a lot of men out there that are predators. There are a lot of men out there who are narcissists, who are sociopaths. There are a lot of people out there. It's all about them. And for you gentlemen, we are aware that there are some women out there who are the same way. So again, just love yourselves enough to know that you deserve the very best. And in order for you to recognize that, you need to learn how to provide that for yourself. Stop looking to someone else to give you what you need. People are not meant to complete us. They're meant to enhance us, and we enhance them. You know, if you have someone who's coming to you and they're only partially there, you're your own person. You're not that piece that can complete them. They have to be complete from the very first point. So, again, learn how to love yourself. Write it down, like Beth said. Write down what makes you happy. And add another column. Write down what does not make you happy. Those are things that you need to eliminate and or avoid. And just get it out of your life. So poetry is just one way to make things happen. So again, you know, thanks so much for sharing that, Beth.
Oh, you're welcome.
It would appear that a lot of our poets did not make it in tonight. So we're not going to stay here for a whole 2 hours tonight. But, again, we'll be doing this again, you know, every so many months or maybe monthly. And maybe I'll just have them send me in their audio files so that we can play them. And at least we'll have more people. But I don't want to monopolize the time talking just about my book. And it would appear that our male artists may not be coming back, but it has been still a great show, because anytime I have a new person such as yourself come on and share their piece, it's just wonderful to again have someone who shared a piece that's right along the lines of the theme for our show tonight. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we are here every Saturday, or most Saturdays. Now that the winter is coming in, we'll be here every Saturday, and we're going into some of our holiday shows. But we're always here on Sunday mornings for the Sunday morning meditation. So, again, well, Beth, it was great having you here. Oh, that was kind of like the hot night. Like, wow. And she's great. Well, she's great. That's great, a lot of things. And I'm so glad that I'm here to see her really starting to blossom and becoming that fierce ball of fire. And, you know, we're all those diamonds in the rough. And when we figure out, hey, a little bit of polishing, how well we can shine. Oh, wow. Watch out. So, again, it was great to know that, wow, you're also a poet. And, oh, if you... more people here. So,
you know, I was looking on my Kindle because something that you said. What was the line you said about men's? If you treat it like a dog.
Oh yeah. If you come to a man as a dog, he's going to treat you like a dog, and we wonder why they call them us bitches. Well, you know. Bitch is the name for a female dog. And if you come there like that, and men, trust me, ladies, they know They do know. Even the worst of men know. Some of the worst men that I know who are dogs, they have always treated me with dignity and respect because guess what? I always came to them as a lady. So, yeah, that's the thing. When you come as a dog.
Well, there's a book that I read, and I had to look up because I couldn't remember the title of it. But and I should remember. It's called Why Men Love Bitches. And, it's really – I recommend it. It's fun, but it gets a good point across that, you know, if you're going to be a doormat, they're going to treat you that way. And, you know, if you don't have any respect for yourself, then they're not going to respect you.
But, and again, I heard of that book until now, but there it is again, ladies. Again, you are whatever you are. If you want to be successful, you can be successful. That doesn't mean that you need to be a millionaire, but you can be successful in doing whatever it is that you do. But if you come as a bitch or as a dog or whatever you want to call it, a slut, a whore, guess what? They're men. They're going to treat you like you came to them as. If you come as a lady, they're going to treat you as a lady. But if you come as one of those loose women, as my great-grandmother used to say, if you come there as a loose woman, they're men. They're going to take you up on that offer, period. And some are going to get up and go home to their girlfriends, their wives, or whatever, and you're going to be lying there alone wondering what just happened. And then your self-esteem is going to be shot, and you're going to be upset, and then you're going to go to the nearest fast food joint or get some ice cream or whatever. Then you're going to eat yourself into oblivion to try to comfort your disappointment. And again, you're going from one bad thing to another. That's where my piece that's called Conflicted comes in. You continue this vicious cycle of hurt, and then it goes from the perpetrator hurting you to you hurting yourself without taking responsibility for the role that you played or that you are playing in your hurt. That's the difference. You know, so many people ask me why I always speak about my ex. Well, number one, because what he did to me, I wouldn't want any woman to stay in a relationship like that. Secondly, he lives in my friggin' backyard. I see his vehicle. I see the people single day. So that's the difference when I can't get rid of my past because my past is my present. My past is my here and now. And for those of you who follow the story, he let go of me. Although he's living with the woman that he had the affair with, he has I'm not giving him that because I was. Tonight, I don't know whether it's my microphone, it's like my voice is going in and out too, but Joe, our artist call in, but we had new pieces and new conversations that I hope that you all will definitely give some consideration to. Don't sit your work. Then, as Beth said, you know, for that book, being somebody's doormat, somebody's footstool, umbrella for people to walk all over, we're worth more than that. We are deep diamonds in various assortments. And a rose by any other name is still a rose. Remember that. And again, get whatever's inside that's eating you up out within the confines of the law, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do anything illegal, but get it out. Talk to someone. someone. Write it down. Sing about it, whatever. Find your peace. So with that said, I think that we have to say good night. And I'll see you all back here again when I don't know what next week's theme is going to be just yet. I'm waiting to hear back from some authors who I've been trying to schedule for the show for a while. So next week it'll be another show here on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, I'll see you all here in a few hours at 6 a.m. for the Sunday morning meditation. Beth, thank you so much for sharing your peace and, you know, even giving us the name. What's the name of that book again? Because I may have to read that.
Why Men Love Bitches.
Why Men Love Bitches. Ladies, you might want to get a copy of that and see how much of it you can actually relate and be honest, because until you're honest with yourself, you can't fix anything and you can't identify what needs to be fixed. So it all starts with honesty. And if we can be honest with ourselves, then we will be looking for and demanding it in our relationships. So again, it's been fun, Beth. This has been great. Mm-hmm. The end of the show happened to be girl talk time, which is
your mail caller never came back.
I know. He's probably, it seems like he was out. So, you know, he'll come back. He's, I think he's one of the callers that is usually here during poetry nights. I can always depend on him to call back at a later time. So, of course, his phone may have died too. But it was great. I mean, that's what this show is all about. And sometimes you don't have to have a room full of people and a call query with a, you know, 10, 11 people on it to make a great show. Because this, again, in my opinion, the divine message was for ladies and us learning how to love ourselves and learning how to love being by ourselves. You can be alone without being lonely, ladies. You really can. Trust me. I do it all the time. But again, it's been great. And thanks for being here. Thanks for being such a great supporter. And thanks again for all of your editing work. Beth is great at that, people. She's also great at journaling, too. So if you ever have any questions about that, just shoot them to me and I'll be sure to get them to Beth. And I'm sure that she can give you some advice.
Absolutely.
In that journey. You know, I'm still trying to get her to write a book. Let me tell you all, Beth has a dog. His name's Rudy. The dog has more personality than most people I know. And I keep telling her she should really do a whole series of books about him alone. Great writer. And you have no idea, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have pets, I think I mentioned this earlier, write the money that your pets do. I just have a Trixie, and everybody's heard about Trixie. She's holding her hand, and well, that's it. Nothing else. That is all. You know, but find something that you love, whatever it is.
Painting, jewelry.
Oh yeah,
all kinds of things.
Gosh, there's so much. We could go on forever. I haven't played it in years, but I have a piano here. Mm-hmm. I used to play all the time, but I lost my inspiration there. So music, whatever. Coloring, whatever. Find something other than eating, unless it's very healthy. And even then, you have to do it in moderation. You don't want to do anything that's going to make you feel worse. You want to find things that's going to make you feel the best that you can feel at any moment during the day, and all during the day, come to think of it. So with that said, thanks so much. for being here. Thanks to all of our quiet guests in the call query. I see you. Thank you for being there. Thanks again to all of our supporters. And Beth, thank you again. Can't thank you enough. It's been fun just having our infamous girl talk time. We must do this more often because it's real. It's so much fun when we can have a natural conversation where, and by the way, nothing is ever scripted here. So what you hear is just the way that it popped in Beth's head or any guest's head in my head, because I don't like scripts, because if you're doing something that's supposed to help people, I think that everything should come from the heart. And so nothing's ever scripted. So once again, it just so happens that the topics and everything that we discussed just happened to have meshed and flowed together nicely for our Poets Cafe. And it usually does do this. Somebody will have a piece that will just strike a chord, and it'll become the basis for the rest of the show, usually. So, again, thanks to everyone for being here. I pray each of you enough. As always, before we go, I'll do my infamous mantra. I pray each of you enough sunshine to brighten rainy days. I pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn that frown you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray each and every one of you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. To our guest that's just popping in the chat room, if you have a piece, a question, or comment, give us a call at 646-478-4726 to participate in our discussion. You cannot type in the chat room if you're logged in as a guest. So if you have a question, comment, or you'd like to share a poetic piece, give us a call before we end our show at 646-478-4726. And, of course, press the number 1 on your phone to let me know that you would like to be on air. Again, to all of our listeners, thanks so much for being here this evening. We're going to, of course, have a whole new list of artists the next time that we do the Poets Cafe. And for those of you just joining us, you can hear the show in its entirety. A few minutes after we end, it will archive, and you'll be able to hear the full show. So again, with that said, ladies and gents, this is Maria Wall thanking all of our guests here tonight. Thank you, Beth, for being here, and thank you to Lloyd for calling in. I believe that was Lloyd who was here earlier, and thanks so much for being here for our first night back at the Poets Cafe. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Maria Wall for iTalk Radio and the Sunday Morning Meditation, and of course, the Wall Foundation Incorporated. Thanking each of you enough, and I wish you a wonderful remainder of your weekend, and have a wonderful Veterans Day. Hug a veteran, say thank you. You know, sometimes those two small words can mean to the world to a veteran, and to so many people, but this is Veterans Day again. So again, thank our thank them for all that they do, because they put their lives in harm's way to keep us safe. So again, enjoy your extended weekend for many of you, and for the rest of you, I'll see you here tomorrow morning for our Sunday morning meditation. And we'll be back here again next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for our regular scheduled Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. Until then, be well. Thank you so much for joining us. Good night, Beth. Good night, everyone in the call for night world. And if you'd like to see us or keep in touch, you can find us on Facebook under Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio, presented by the Wall Foundation, Inc. That is the best way to keep up with all of our happenings and events. And, of course, if you're a member of the Twitter Nation, we are Wall_Foundation. So, again, if you need to reach number 202-618-2556, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. Email is contact@thewallfoundationinc.org. Or if you need to write to me personally, you can write to me at MariaWall@thewallfoundationinc.org. Again, folks, thank you so much for being here. And, of course, our opening and closing music is by another one of my colleagues and a very great lady, CEO of Bullhorn, Gypsy. She's a PR person, great person. And her name is Cassandra Allen. You can find all of her work on Amazon, and of course, if you like to reach her personally, feel free to shoot me a line and I will put you in contact with Cassandra Allen. She is an artist, she is a painter, she paints beautiful pieces, oils on canvas, she is a musician, she is a dynamic lady. So, again, good night, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I will see you all soon. Good night.